Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
So glad you're here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Thomas Harpointner is our very special guest. Thomas is CEO of AIS Media out of Atlanta. And we'll be talking with Thomas here in just a few minutes. But first, boys and girls, we have Gene Bliss coming up here. Gene has a brand new book out. It's going to be released in mid-October. Grab it here. It says, "I love you more than my dog." We're going to do one of the features on out of that book. This particular one is called Zane's Cycles. What a cool place. How they do business is absolutely incredible. If you don't know about Zane's Cycles, it'll be something great to find out about. Shamin Abbas, what is a blog? Now, for those of you who don't know what a blog is, we're so happy you're here because it's about time you knew, okay? But Shamin is going to give us a little bit more insight into that right after we talk with Thomas here at The Advertising Show. So, Brad, what are you holding there?
Well, you know, and by the way, if you don't know what a blog is, tune into another program. If you're listening to The Advertising Show, I hope you do. But she always has little interesting curveballs she throws in her vignette piece, so we'll look forward to hearing from Shamin. I have a little note here that, you know, we have a worldwide audience. We've been doing this in 2001. And I understand that Twitter is now receiving more UK visits than MySpace for the first time ever, according to Hitwise UK. Twitter now ranks as the 27th most visited website, one place higher than News Corp's MySpace. Twitter may even be more popular because Hitwise can't measure mobile access. So it's, I think if you were to measure mobile access, you'd find it to be even greater there. So
Can't measure it just quite yet, Brad, right? Exactly.
That's true. But, you know, Twitter, I think a lot's been talked about MySpace and the demise of MySpace, although I don't think it's going anywhere. And I also read an article recently. It was a study. You may have seen it, Ray, about Twitter and how vast majority of people on Twitter are either just talking about nothing or using it as an IM channel, if you will. I think the percentages, as I recall in this article, that were actually promoting business or using something worth passing along, newsworthy information or whatever, was something in the single-digit range. So I think it's got a ways to go. It's got a good base and a lot of numbers, but
it's got a really strong base, and it has a lot of opportunity. As our good friend Jeffrey Gittimer says, "I'm going to keep doing social media until I figure it out." So that's what he's investigating right now. But Twitter's not bad, you know, and Facebook, incredible as well, too. But you can't do anything but IM on Twitter because it would be against the law. You just, you know, the Twitter police would come after you. Gene Bliss is our customer experience lady, and she's got a really cool story about Zane's Cycles. Listen to it.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Zane's Cycle of Connecticut is one of the three largest bike shops in the United States. They sell $13 million each year in bicycles and bike supplies with a relationship grounded in customer trust. For example, on any day, you might see a $6,000 bike go out the door for a test drive without anyone at Zane's asking to collect your identification or any type of collateral. "Do you want my license?" is often asked. The response is always, "Nope, just have a good ride." Of the 4,000 bikes they sell each year, only about 5 are stolen from test drives at Zane's. For them, it's just not worth the whole attitude of the company changing because of the attitudes of 5 dishonest people. Zane's believes customers are good, and that attitude frees Zane's to grow. They have achieved an average annual growth rate of 23% since opening in 1981. Why not take a page from Zane's and take a hard look at your policies? Can you change or eliminate anything that exists to protect you from your customers?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is Corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thomas Harpointner is about to join us here out of Atlanta with his company, AIS Media. He's the founder and CEO. We'll do that in just a minute here, but thanks to Gene Bliss. So now you know all about Zane's Cycles. What a cool company that is. Brad, what do you have?
Well, you know, if you're new to the show, you may be accessing us through iTunes. You may be checking us out at theadvertisingshow.com. I'd like to remind all of our listeners around the world that simply either go to theadvertisingshow.com. You'll see a icon there on linking directly to iTunes, or you can go to iTunes if you're already a subscriber of iTunes programming and subscribe to The Advertising Show. And it'll be there waiting for you every week. Every Sunday, you'll be getting a new issue, so to speak, of what we've done that week. And so I want to welcome everyone listening around the world. iTunes, great place to get The Advertising Show, or at theadvertisingshow.com. Either way, we'll take all listeners. Doesn't matter how you get us.
We've right, never right? turned one away. No. I can't recall that ever happening, Brad. That's right.
Yeah.
Very good. Good news here with the Super Bowl coming up here. Two-thirds of the 2010 inventory is taken. CBS sold 65% of the available commercial spots for this coming year's Super Bowl. According to sources, an impressive amount considering the still dire economic circumstances. At this time last year, NBC had sold 85% of the inventory, but CBS had to battle the full force of the financial crisis that began in 08. Is that when it began? CBS has sold approximately 30-second spots for the Super Bowl, according to sources, out of a total of 62 on offer. So far, the prices, 2.7 mil to 2.8 mil per spot, which is flat to slightly lower than what NBC achieved for the 09 telecast, and flat to slightly higher than what Fox did for the 08 game. Last year, they say NBC averaged between 2.8 and 2.9 per 30. Well, some advertisers, some of those who didn't negotiate or got in too late, paid $3 million. So that wasn't you, was it, by any chance?
Not me, no. Okay, although I would take 15% commission of any of those figures.
That'd be a sweet deal.
Who's getting 15% nowadays anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't that a fact? Let me tell you a little bit about Thomas here, here at the Advertising Show. We'll bring him on in just a moment. He is founder and CEO of AIS Media. And that website, by the way, is AISmedia.com. And he is involved with key customers, partners, and community activities. He's responsible for the vision and direction for AIS, and he assists with corporate strategy, marketing, product development, and business development. So in just a few moments, we'll find out more about Thomas and get a chance to talk with him for a few segments here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. At the Advertising Show, it is being powered by Shipple. That's S-C-H-I-P-U-L. And Shipple.com is a great place to go. There's a marketing platform called Tendency, which is absolutely killer. Of course, we use it here at the Advertising Show, and look at how handsome we are. We would invite you to go there as well. And thanks to Ed and his great team here in Houston for the work that they've done for the Advertising Show. It's Shipple.com. Back in just a minute with more with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Stronger than dirt.
So glad you're here with Ray Shillins Stronger and Brad Forsyth dirt. On The Advertising Show. And as promised, Thomas Harpointner, founder and CEO of AIS Media. Out of Atlanta, we're talking to Thomas. Thomas, it's great to have you here at The Advertising Show.
It's my pleasure, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Thomas, we do our research here, and we know you recently did a segment on WGY 810 AM discussing the demand for higher ROI that both email and online marketing offers marketers today. What can marketers learn about direct mail marketing from the USPS meltdown?
Well, it's first off, it's not new. A couple of years ago, the U.S. Post Office reported that it lost $700 million, and that loss increased from $700 million to $3 billion in 2008. This year, it's expected to climb to $7 billion, and a Postmaster General blames these big losses on the increased use of email and the reduced use of traditional advertising via the postal service. So it's been coming, and as the post office battles their losses with increased stamps and increased parcel fees, it's going to continue to drive marketers to find alternatives even more so.
Well, Thomas, haven't you forgotten the part about the wonderful customer service experience that you have at the post office, and for the longest time as well, the postal service? I mean, if you had a package to pick up, they wouldn't do it. Take it to the post office. They couldn't service that. Isn't that kind of of their own doing?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything during one of my radio shows after I got off. An angry postal worker called in and said, how dare you have this type of guest on? You know, our employees are very hardworking, and all but a very, very few have a bad attitude. And, you know, why would you have a person on like this who's made his living, you know, providing competitive services? So,
really?
Of course, prior to the economic meltdown, you know, we saw UPS stores and mailboxes, et cetera, and all these alternative small businesses pop up to provide consumers alternatives to the postal service. So I think this has been a long time coming.
Yeah. And when I said meltdown, I guess I should have said slow meltdown. It was certainly not anything new, but I think there's inefficiencies, obviously, in addition to what you were saying in terms of the digital world moving in to replace snail mail. FedEx, UPS still is profitable and making money, Ray, to your point about picking up boxes and parcels and so forth. So enough about the USPS. That's an easy shot.
Easy target, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, real easy. Let's shift for a moment, Thomas, to sports sponsorships. You were recently quoted as saying it used to be enough for a sponsor to have their logo on a car and know that it gets seen on TV, but that's changing because it's so difficult to measure its effectiveness. So it's always been difficult to measure its effectiveness. Now that we're in an economic downturn, sports marketing is being affected. Quantifying the value, I guess, of sponsorships was challenging during better economic times, just as it is now. Well, what's going on there?
Well, the famous retailer John Wanamaker once said that 50% of my advertising is wasted. I just don't know which 50%.
Right.
And of course, that was a long time ago and before the internet was born. And one promise that the internet is delivering is tangible, and more importantly, measurable results. A logo on the side of a car, it's very difficult to measure just how much revenue it generates. And, the Super Bowl advertisers, for instance, who spend upwards of $3 million for a 30-second spot, also have learned to make better use of the internet. When, we look at the trends among these large, very expensive ads and advertisers, they're using interactive solutions better now. Television commercials that drive viewers to a website, and that same strategy is now being demanded by sports sponsors as well. You know, a logo on the side of a car is now just becoming the cherry on a whipped cream pie. It's not the major sales initiative. So the sellers of these ads need to deliver more than just the logo. They need to deliver an interactive strategy. So we're finding clients demanding more interactive solutions like email marketing, search engine marketing, a better website strategy that goes hand-in-hand with the traditional sponsorship.
You know, we've had this show since 2001. This is our second downturn, having experienced the post 9/11 effect on media and marketing, and here we are again. And I think the commonality that we're seeing here is that, you know, during good times, marketers and advertisers really don't care so much about ROI. They're now caring again, I suppose, although there was this big hubbub about wanting to monitor ROI and have people reduce agency fees and so forth on the client side. So I guess this belt tightening and scrutinization is a good thing for the long term if we can also remember it when more robust times return. But let's talk a little bit for a moment about traditional agencies, and you talked about the Super Bowl and Super Bowl spots driving traffic to the web. Do traditional ad agencies understand internet marketing today, Thomas?
Well, you know, unfortunately, many simply do not. We're seeing more of them reach out to web services firms and interactive marketing firms like ours because, you know, for some they see the writing on the wall. For others, it's a move that they understand is going to be forced on them if they don't make it voluntarily. You know, over 10,000 newspapers and magazines that existed a few years ago are now extinct. So clearly, these ad agencies are recognizing it, but by embracing the internet, it really is going to help them redefine their industry and offer more value-added services to their clients. You know, again, you know, what better service to deliver than something that is measurable? You know, the good news is if an ad doesn't work, you'll know it very quickly, sure. And you'll be able to make changes along the way, and clients don't have to waste as much money as they did before testing. An email campaign, for instance, when you send an email versus a postal mail campaign, you can see exactly how many emails are delivered, how many emails are opened, how many people click on that email, and then ultimately what they do once they click, when they arrive at the website, how many of them buy or how many, you know, fill out a lead form to become an inquiry. It's very difficult to get that type of valuable, intelligent information from a traditional ad campaign. So traditional ad agencies who partner with interactive companies are, in my opinion, much better positioned for the long term than those who are hoping and waiting for the economy to recover and for things to get back to the way they used to be. I don't see that happening.
Thomas Hartpointer is founder and CEO of AIS Media, and we get to continue this conversation here in just a moment with Ray and Brad.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
My special guest is founder and CEO of AIS Media. It's Thomas Hartpointer here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Thomas, welcome back.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, let's continue that conversation about the value of monitoring ROI via digital marketing. The web was supposed to be such a great vehicle for brand building, yet when it comes to building a brand and monitoring ROI is a challenge, to say the least. How do you build a brand digitally and be able to monitor ROI? It's easy when it comes to direct response, but isn't brand building a bit of a greater challenge?
Well, there are certainly challenges that have to be considered. I mean, you know, the internet is changing and adding new types of technologies and methods of doing business every 3 to 6 months. You know, suddenly what's hot today is no longer hot tomorrow, and you know some of these big portals like MySpace are a classic example. What's really going to work in the long term is yet to be determined, but the most important, I think the most important quality is to be agile and have an ability and willingness to adjust. You know, branding online, how to effectively brand your company online means being in touch with the new emerging technologies. For example, the fact that, you know, more users today than ever are accessing the internet through mobile devices like the iPhones and Blackberries, and that usage is only going to continue to grow. So, web developers and, companies that own websites need to be able to recognize it and be prepared, to have a presence that is accessible through these mobile devices. If all of a sudden the site becomes outdated and it's no longer accessible in a year or two, you're losing that audience, and it most definitely damages a brand. A poor website can do more damage to a brand than no website at all.
Boy, isn't that a fact?
Yeah, on the internet, your website is your company.
Right.
For many customers, they may never come to the office, but they'll pull up your website in a jiffy.
Better be effective. What about text messaging and such for reaching, engaging, measuring advertising? What do you think about that? Is that a younger demographic, or what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, you know, interestingly enough, everyone's texting these days. It's the younger folks that initially drove the growth of the internet. But as of last summer, when fuel prices hit an all-time high, ironically, it's the parents and grandparents that really drove the growth of the internet. You know, portals like Facebook. I mean, the majority of users now are the moms and grandmoms. It's no longer the college kids. So everyone's texting, everyone's emailing, everyone's surfing the internet these days, and the technology barrier has been penetrated, and most people are comfortable using computers today. More homes have access to broadband internet. You know, businesses, virtually every business today has high-speed internet access of some type. So we're entering a hyper-growth phase of the internet where, you know, if somebody doesn't have a great web presence, they have an excuse. So, we're advising clients to really hone in on who their customers are and to very closely monitor their web analytics to see where their audience is coming from and the type of devices they're using to access their website. Right now, the mobile users still represent a very small percentage of all internet activity. But that number is growing very rapidly. By this time next year, when we, if we have this kind of conversation, mobile access may have grown, 1,500 to 2,000% from where it is today. So, it's something that every advertiser and business owner needs to be aware of.
Let's talk search engine marketing for a moment. Why do most cost per click advertisers who are unhappy with the results continue to increase their online ad budgets? You would think they wouldn't do that.
Well, they see the instant gratification. It's simple. Google has made it very easy, coincidentally, to set up a Google AdWords account. If you have a credit card number and you can fill out a few fields online, voila, you're advertising online. Beyond that, Google takes no responsibility for the results that those ads generate, nor should they, just like a newspaper takes no responsibility for the classified ad that you place. But it's very easy to do, and you do see results. Now, unfortunately, many advertisers measure results by hits or visits to a website. They don't dig deeper. So, the advertiser does see an instant spike in traffic to their website, and the instant gratification of, is fulfilled. But, unless they really go, dig a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole to see what that traffic, if that traffic is actually converting to sales or leads or something measurable, many of them are just blind and continue to do it. The number one reason why advertisers are not happy with their paid search engine results could be summarized in one simple word, and that's relevance, or rather the lack of relevance. How many times do we go to Google, type in a search term, and find results that are completely unrelated? I think all of us have clicked those ads that have taken us to websites that are completely unrelated from our initial search term. And it's those advertisers that are being punished the most, because consumers and visitors do not, studies have shown that about 90% of all visitors on Google have no idea that clicking those little ads to the right and across the top of the screen costs that advertiser any amount of money at all.
That's true.
They don't know that that's a paid listing, so
right. They
click away. And some of those clicks cost, some of them are very cheap as 5 cents, but many of them cost 20, 30, sometimes some are as high as $50 a click.
And any time one is erroneous, it's an expensive mistake on the advertiser's part. They need to get a little bit smarter about that, but Google is doing a great job. Special guest is founder and CEO of AIS Media. It's Thomas Harpointner, and we'll be back with more here on The Advertising Show with Ray and Brad in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Harmer hot dogs. What kind?
Back for another segment with our friend Thomas Harpointner out of Atlanta, founder and CEO of AIS Media. Thomas, great to have you on the show.
And it's my pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
You know, a lot of people are moving to smartphones today. I think a few years ago they weren't as prevalent, obviously, than they are today. And I think there will be a time that the penetration, market penetration, should be up in the 90, 95% in the not-too-distant future. Talk a little bit, Thomas, if you would, about the role of the smartphone for the advertising industry's survival.
Well, it's one of the most exciting things for the advertisers, because the smartphone today is taking the place, in many cases, of the desktop computer. You know, a few years ago when we tracked e-commerce and we advised many of our clients, retail clients, to adapt an integrated strategy where, you know, email would drive not just web traffic, but email promotions could also drive customers into the store. Of course, many clients embrace that idea and very successful, in fact. But today, you know, consumers that used to sit at home and do their price shopping at home and then ultimately go to the store to make the purchase, they're literally bringing their computer or their mobile device into the store, and they're literally price shopping on the spot. So for some retailers, it's their worst nightmare, because if their prices aren't very good and the consumer can price shop while they're on the floor, they may walk right out and end up making that purchase across the street or over the internet. Mm-hmm. But for the retailers and the store owners who embrace the idea that an educated consumer is their best customer, it gives them an opportunity to reach their market in a whole new way. Take a circular that you would advertise in a newspaper or send out via postal mail. You know, every house only has one mailbox, but most people have their own private email box, and most mobile devices now can check email on the go. So it, you know, gives these advertisers an opportunity to reach an individual. It's more of a surgical advertising campaign rather than a carpet bombing campaign. So it gives the advertiser an opportunity to reach that very specific individual that they're after, and deliver offers and products that appeal to them, versus the shoot and hope strategy that they used in the past.
Let me get a quick answer to a short question, then I have a follow-up. You mentioned that a lot of traditional agencies are reaching out to firms like your own. What percentage of your clients are on the marketer side versus the agency side that you do business with?
Today, about 80% of our clients are still direct clients. I should point out that we have about 150 independent consultants throughout North America that have, these are companies, some are ad agencies, some are consultants that work with businesses in their local markets every day. So they're not necessarily all ad agencies, but these independent consultants have come to us to partner with, AIS Media, so they can provide our services to customers in their local markets.
I wanted to get 80%
of clients are still direct clients.
Yeah, I wanted to get a feel for your mix, your client mix, before I ask you this question, which is, what are you finding clients asking more for today than they were, say, a few years ago, as we wrap up this segment?
Well, everyone, of course, still needs a website, but the definition of the website has changed significantly. So the type of proposals that we issue when we provide a website development proposal is a lot more sophisticated than it used to be, versus just a simple site that looks pretty and has nice flash animation. They're looking for tangible, measurable results. So a website that integrates email marketing campaigns, search engine optimization campaigns, web analytics that provide tangible, measurable results and performance reports, that's becoming more of the norm these days. So for, you know, companies that are hiring, you know, designers, right, you know, from an art institute, that's only a small percentage of the equation these days. So it's the sophistication of the website, of the projects that has changed the most.
Make my logo bigger.
Yeah, that's what we want. Make my logo bigger. AIS Media is the company, and AISmedia.com is the website. Thomas, it's been a pleasure having you here today. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Pleasure's all mine, gentlemen, anytime.
On the advertising show, there is more to come, so stay right here.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly
And thanks much to our special guest today, Thomas Harpointer, CEO of AIS Media, with Ray Shillings and Brett Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. By the way, next week we've got Randall Strauss, author of Planet Google. That's a cool-looking book, and it's a great opportunity to find out more about what Randall's all about and what he has in mind when he says that. So we'll look forward to Randall's visit to The Advertising Show next week. It's not too early to be thinking about the Winter Olympic Games, is it, Brad?
Nope.
Okay, well, that's good.
I've got my tights on right now.
Do you really? Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that little tutu looks nice, too. Procter & Gamble will sponsor the United States Olympic team, by the way. They've signed as a sponsor for the Vancouver and London Games, a move that will place the Olympic rings on more than a dozen household products, from Bounty and Tide to Pepto-Bismol and Pringles. Sponsorship expected to be announced, has been announced actually, comes at a key time for the Olympic Committee, which has struggled to attract and retain corporate sponsors in the recession. Well, that's obvious. Company executive said the deal would involve 17 brands, P&G capitalizing on the Olympics to appeal to women by running television advertisements for its beauty brands, including Olay, Pantene, Secret. During the Games, Olympic logos will appear on the packaging and in-store displays. That's a good idea. Like Charmin, Febreze, and Scope. So, it's good, and it's a huge win for the United States Olympic Committee. They needed one, this year. So it's nice to note that, they have what they need here. So congratulations to Procter & Gamble for stepping up to the plate and saying, you know what, let's get this recession and kick it out of here. Okay? What do you have there?
Kind of late in the game. I'm glad they did step up. They needed it. So I've had Alex Benblock on regularly over the past several years, mm-hmm. and always talking about 3D technology from time to time. It looks more and more ready to hit the consumer market, that being 3D technology, with Sony announcing plans recently to sell 3D televisions globally by the end of 2010. There's no doubt 3D is on its way to a mass consumer market with the content, I guess, Ray, being mm-hmm. the biggest driver.
And we'll all have to wear those funny glasses then, won't we?
Well, I'm wearing them now, and I think you look awfully funny there, the way it's
well, take them
green
off.
And blue tint.
Take them off, it looks worse. Shamin Abbas is here with us, Activist for Excellence. What is a blog? I don't know. Well, let's find out, okay? I think we should know this, shouldn't we?
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
What, in fact, is a blog? I'm probably not telling many of you anything new, since most of you are veterans of the web and generally know a blog when you see it. But for the uninitiated, a blog is, at its simplest, a way of displaying information in a highly templated format, incorporating a fixed outer shell and a variable interior space that displays new entities in reverse chronological order. The vast majority of the millions of blogs out there are highly personal, but they certainly don't have to be, and as marketers, advertisers, and PR firms jump on the bandwagon, things start to even out. Even so, the corporate and professional blogs will still be characterized by the personal touch. We've made it part of our initial proposals and campaign strategies to instruct every relevant client in how to create and maintain a blog, often assisting in the creation and the content, of course. In fact, businesses have already caught on to the idea of adding corporate blogs as a way to interact directly with consumers, clients, and prospects in a way that cannot be done through traditional marketing and advertising outreach. By establishing a dialogue and a distinct personality, you've crossed the natural barrier between seller and buyer, or agency and client. For agencies constantly looking to feed new business, this fact should surprise. According to a recent CMO survey, 80% of decision makers say they found the vendor, not the other way around. Instead of finding your clients, the new business paradigm for marketing 2.0 is to help your prospective clients find you. The strength of social media is its reach. One message can exponentially, virally grow to reach a very large audience. People, whether they be prospective clients, prospective employees, or the media, will flock to your blog site primarily because of good content. The key target audience has questions. You provide the answers and offer opinions. It's really that simple.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
So now you know what a blog is here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And thanks, Shamin, as always, for being a part of the show. What do you have there, Brad?
Well, you know, I know you know this because you used to listen to it on the radio. Guiding Light, which debuted in 1937 on the radio.
Yeah, right.
Has aired its final episode September 18th with a 72-year run that is unlikely to ever be matched, of course.
Wow.
In case you didn't know, folks, soap operas are a steady decline as they compete with new racier programming such as daytime talk shows, reality shows, etc. So there'll be a time, I think, Ray, not so off in the distant future, that we'll be telling our children and others there was a time that there was programming on that was sponsored by Procter & Gamble and other companies, and it was all about selling soap suds, and it was programs about people's lives and intertwined with sex and crime and all those crazy things.
And the little kid sitting on good old Uncle Brad's lap go, really, Uncle Brad? No, really?
They're saying, how does this differ much from the reality shows we're watching nowadays?
Well, there's less swearing and less nudity. But other than that, they're pretty much the same, although they tried that with the soap operas as well. So that's kind of sad. 70 years, that's a long time, too, as well.
72 years, yeah.
Jeez. Hey, pop star, here's a way to get your song produced. Get somebody to sponsor it. Mariah Carey, pioneering a new business model for the struggling music business. What isn't struggling these days? Wait,
yeah.
Lawyers and funeral homes. Right. Her next album will be sponsored by the Bahamas Board of Tourism and perfume companies wishing to be associated with the fragrant star. Memoirs of an Imperfect Angel comes with a 34-page booklet crammed with glossy advertisements for Elizabeth Arden and more. Angel Pink Champagne and Carmen Stephens, Stephens shoes from Brazil. So get your album sponsored by a whole bunch of people. And it actually doesn't cost as much as it used to make an album anymore because of the technology here. And so I guess the music industry is struggling just a little bit, but that'll be real interesting. So when you're listening to the new album from Mariah Carey, you want to be thinking of the Bahamas Board of Tourism and perfume companies, okay? Unbelievable. Wouldn't be surprised if it came with a free sample or something like that. Yeah, here's some lipstick with this thing. Anyway, but hey, look forward to getting together with the author of Planet Google. Randall Strauss is his name. That'll be coming up next here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is always brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Check us out anytime, The Advertising Show. It's advertisingshow.com, and a lot of good stuff there as well. And it's, as we always say at the very end of the show, a big Radio Midgets production. See you.